Okay, so, about 6 years ago, I decided that I was sick and tired of my weight and of starting all these diets and these plans. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to exercise every day. I'm going to lose weight, and I'm going to get into the. My goal was a size 7 pants because that's what I was when I was married, and I had lost the weight several times throughout, but then I would always gain it back. And I finally just got sick of it, and I had read the book The Way Down Diet, which is where most of my material is from. And it's a godly weight loss plan. And yet, when I had read it before and the plan had worked, I believed in it, but I didn't continue and commit to it for my life. I saw it more as a plan to lose weight, but not as a plan to just live. And it wasn't until this last time, over 6 years ago, that I really studied it out, and I really saw that the scriptures that she used had to cut my heart before it could be a conviction that this was God's plan. You know, it wasn't the world's plan. It looks very different from the world, and yet it really makes sense if you think about it, as all God's plans do. You know, in our hearts, we think we go to the shiny. You know, oh, this diet or this shake or this whatever. You know, but God's plan is always best, and I believe His word is very, very vocal on this subject, because it's not just about our weight, it's about our health, and it's about our lives. It's about how we feel about ourselves. And so I began this journey, and I determined that I would eat the way that I believe God wanted me to eat, eating less, eating portions according to my body, and I lost 65 pounds, and I've kept it off. And that is all to God's glory. It's something that, and it's not that it's not a daily struggle, because it's always a daily struggle, because I have my sinful nature, and I want to eat more than I need, but it's God's power, and that's what I really want to share tonight. I'm not surprised that happened. My hair is in the way. This is a picture of us in 2010, our Christmas picture. You can see Daniel and myself and Todd, we all were pretty overweight. This was 180 pounds, which is what I weighed at when I gave birth to my oldest son, Daniel. That was the most I've ever weighed. And this is Daniel's baptism. Praise God. There's David Collier, his best friend. and God worked. So that was the next Christmas. I think I forgot to put Daniel's other picture up here. Well, as you all know, Daniel has lost an amazing amount of weight, too. And the exciting thing about this journey for me was I knew that it had to be my journey. And don't get me wrong, I still struggle with this. It's not Todd's journey, it's my journey. It's not my kids' journey, it's my journey. And yet, God works, because our kids and our husbands, they watch us. And so because, you know, I decided to do this God's way, Todd watched me, and you can already see that he's lost weight in this picture. Daniel then came to me, and he took a little bit longer, but not a long time, really. He came to me, and he said, "Mom, I feel terrible about myself, and I really need you to help me." And I was, you know, it's always a little hard helping your kids. He was in college, and so I just kind of stepped very carefully. But, you know, he accepted it, you know, and he changed because of God, and because he had that humility, you know, to seek out help. One of my biggest dreams is for us to be healthy and to have that the victory in our health. So for me, I did daycare for many, many years. I quit January of 2015 to become a real estate agent. But I loved it, but when I was overweight, it was hard for me to get on the ground with the kids. And I saw the difference after I lost the weight, and I began exercising too. I definitely, exercise is a huge issue. It's a huge component, but you can lose weight without exercising. So let me just say that, and I know somebody is going to say, no, you can't. But yes, you can. But we all need to exercise for our health. And it makes, you know, the endorphins, makes us feel good about ourselves. There's a lot of benefits to exercise. So that was one of the things I did too. So I said, I'm going to exercise every day and I'm going to follow God's plan for eating. And I had not had a lot of success saying I was going to exercise 3 days a week. I had joined clubs and I'd done it for a while. You know, again, like the dieting was yo-yo. So I knew that a habit, you all know what a habit is, right? Some people say it takes 60 days. Some people say it takes 90 days to build a habit. But regardless, it takes consistent doing it over and over again. And it's a magical thing, you know? I started slow. I said, I have to be a baby stepper. And, you know, I'm not trying to impress anyone. So I did 15 minutes a day for a whole month on my treadmill. And then the next month, I bumped it up 5 pounds. So people were saying, yeah, I went to the gym for 3 hours, and I did this, and I did this class. And I said, yeah, well, I did the treadmill for 15 minutes, you know. But I did it every single day. And that's okay, and I feel fine about that. And so my husband and my kids watched me. And the more that I lost weight and the better I felt about myself, the more my heart hurt for others. And, you know, I feel like God opened up my heart to just kind of encompass the pain that I saw in myself. Because when I would look in the mirror every day, I would feel this, you know, who is this person? I don't feel good about myself. When I'd go to put on clothes, they were tight. They were uncomfortable. I began to have a passion outside of myself. At first, it was just for me, you know, and that's okay. You know, but God, for me, put this on my heart. So a lot of you know about obesity and just how scary it is. 68% of adults and nearly one-third of children are considered obese. 8 out of 10 children who are overweight at age 10 to 15 will be obese as adults. The U.S. is the fattest country in the world. That's no surprise. 74.1% of people are overweight, and 30% of these are obese. Obesity is costly not only to the people who suffer, but to the nation as a whole. And really, it's costly in many ways. So these are some of the health issues. Obesity-related conditions include heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, and certain types of cancer, some of the leading causes of preventable death. The estimated annual medical cost of obesity in the U.S. was $147 billion in 2008 U.S. dollars. The medical costs for people who are obese were $1,429 higher than those of normal weight. So now we're just going to look at the trend. This is scary, and we're going to run through this a little fast, but I want you to look at... The white is no data. The blue is 10%. The light blue. The dark blue is 10 to 14% of 30 pounds overweight, okay, for a 5'4" person. As we go through this, you're going to see that not only does this populate, but this number is going to go up. So just watch. So here you see this number has gone up. It was 10 to 14%, but now they had to make a higher thing, right? This is 1992. It keeps going up. Okay, they've raised it again. Look at this state. This is Mississippi. As we know, that state really struggles with being overweight, but we all do, right? Especially in the South. So now we have a new category, 20 to 24%. So So doesn't that hurt your heart to see how quickly it's gone up? And it's just going up. It's not going backwards. Now we have another stat, 29%. So 30 pounds overweight, 29%. So you can see that it's a huge problem, okay? And the good news that I want to bring to you is it is fixable. It is fixable. And some of these, you know, being overweight doesn't, it offers nothing good. Diabetes, heart problems, cholesterol, joint pain, back pain, knee pain, low energy, low self-esteem. You know, those are all things, you know, not all, but most of these, especially these, I struggled with. I have psoriatic arthritis, and yet as I lost weight and exercised, I felt so much better. Now at 53, I feel better than I did at, you know, in my early 30s when, you know, when I was a lot younger and seemingly, you know, you would think I would have felt better then, but I feel better now. And that's to God's grace. So weight loss, weight gain, we see the bad things, but the good news is many health problems are reversible. You know, sorry, I have it off, but it's still vibrating. If you look at this, it you can reverse a lot of these factors. They've done a lot of studies, and I know that some of you have probably seen it too, with especially type 2 diabetes. You know, where you've had to go on medicine, and then you've got it under control. You've got your weight under control, and you've been able to go off. And these are some other things. You know, high blood pressure, obstructive sleep apnea, along with improvements in the structure and function of the heart. You can reduce your risk of high blood pressure. Even small amounts of weight loss can make a big difference in helping to prevent high blood pressure, which is such a horrible disease, right? Type 2 diabetes is a serious and chronic medical condition. It develops mostly in adults, but is becoming more common in children as obesity rates rise among all age groups. Several factors contribute to type 2 diabetes. Being overweight or obese is the biggest risk factor. Type 2 diabetes can be life-threatening, but if treated carefully, it can be managed or even reversed. And that is just great news. You know, when you go to the doctor and you hear this horrible diagnosis, you know, to know that, okay, you know, it should be a wake-up call. You know, and I know for a lot of people it really is. But let's not get to that point. Okay, let's you know, keep that at bay. Romans 12:12 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Okay, so what we're all about here and what my belief is that we don't have to follow the world's pattern. We don't have to charge after the latest diet, the lose weight quick schemes. You know, the shakes, just the different, you know, no carbs or you know, no sugar. You know, and here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to put in a little plug, or not a plug. I'm going to put in a, I don't know how to say this, but anyway, so. My belief is you can eat anything you want and lose weight. If you want to eat organic, by all means, eat organic. If you want to eat no sugar, then please don't eat sugar, okay? I'm not saying you have to eat sugar. I'm not saying you don't eat organic. I'm not saying any of that because I feel like everybody, you know, has to decide in their own heart, you know, what they feel is right. What I am saying is God can use any of those. You can lose weight whether you're eating all carbs or no carbs, you know. But we don't want to follow the behavior and custom of this world. So the world is always looking for that shiny object, right? That shiny new diet or that shiny new lose weight quick scheme. And don't we want to lose weight quick? Yes, For goodness sakes, we don't want to wait. But one of the biggest encouragements to me is when I think about, okay, so I started, you know, my weight loss in early 2011, and then, you know, by Christmas of that year, you know, I was doing great. And, you know, as I looked back, I thought, you know, did I want to lose weight quicker? Yes. But if you picture yourself right now where you're at, and then say you picture yourself a year later, and maybe your goal is 50 pounds, but how great would you feel if you lost half of that in a year? And you might say, no, I want it faster. But think about it. Think about where you're at now, where you were at last year. Wouldn't you have felt great if you would have started last year and you would have made that progress? So what I want to encourage you with is this is not a quick thing. This is a lifestyle change. This is not just to lose weight. This is for your whole life. And as you think about this, I want you to pray about the kids that you have or don't have, you know, that you will have, and how this can affect their lives. Because I know it breaks your heart, just like it broke mine. When I saw my son overweight, when I saw how much pain he was in, you know, he was bullied in school, you know, for being overweight. And aren't we hardest on ourselves, though, right? I mean, other people can say stuff, and yeah, it does hurt. I mean, I'm not going to lie, it hurts. But the biggest pain comes from who we want to be and who we aren't, right? And weight is just, it's just one part of our spiritual life, but it is a part, you know, because we don't feel good when we don't look our best, you know. We don't feel good when we're not at the weight that God wants us to be. Let me put it that way. Everybody's weight is different. You're not going to look like me. Your body's different, you know. That's okay. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about praying. What I did was I prayed, God, you get me to the weight you want me to be. And so I'll tell you that I ate the same amount, pretty much the same amount when I started at 180 as I do now. And I know that seems weird, but you know, your body knows what it needs, you know? And so as you continue on this, God will get you at that right weight for your body. Whoops. Okay, so change your heart, not the food. So it's a heart issue, right? Isn't it? It's a heart issue. It's not the food's fault. It's not our mother's fault. It's not our brother's fault. It's not our, you know, it's not our friend's fault. It's not our husband's fault. You know, if there's a lot of junk food in the house, it's not the junk food's fault, okay? And vegetables aren't righteous, and sugar is not the devil. You know, pretty much, you know, no, it's not, okay? I know it seems that way, but it's not. In Matthew 15, 10 through 20, it says, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. And then he goes on to say, are you still so dull? Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, etc., etc. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hand does not defile a person. Or eating sugar or eating carbs. You know, that doesn't defile you. That doesn't make you fat, okay? What makes you fat is when you have to have a whole cake instead of a piece of cake, you know? That's what makes you fat. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. But we can change, right? We can change our heart. Because once you recognize that it's a heart issue, that's kind of like, wow, then God can change it. Because who changes our heart? God does, right? We don't change our own heart, you know? I mean, we have the Holy Spirit in us, right? I mean, think about that. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We may not always feel that way. I don't. But we do. And when we acknowledge that, and when we think about that, and when we pray to God, God, your spirit is in me. I know you can help me. Then that's what's going to change our heart. So let's take back the reins. Giving our hearts over to something is a learned process and can be relearned. It can be relearned. I know you guys have, you know, I love watching women who in their, you know, later years, learn a new career, you know? At 51, I became a real estate agent, you know? Who thought? Who would have thought? I didn't. I fought it, you know? But you know what? It's great that we can do that. We can change, right? We can change. It's an awesome thing. So it can be relearned. For example, some people enjoy sports, but other people seem to worship sports. You've seen them, the paint, you know, all the jerseys, the, you know, the tailgate parties, the week-long, you know, getting into the event, all the posts on Facebook. I have a friend in California who blows up Facebook with all her sports, and I love it. Some people enjoy material things, but other people seem to worship things. Yes, you know, we can all struggle with that, but some, of course, are extreme. Some people use money, but other people will do anything to get it. So, you know, again, these are things that we have learned, we can relearn. Some people use food for fuel to run the body, and some people dream about food. So, you know, right? I mean, let's face it, we all dream about food to a certain degree. I do, you know. Oh, I can't wait to get that, you know, fajitas or, you know, or Georgina's cooking. Woo! She came over and, boy, we cooked up, and it was great. It was yummy. It was very yummy. Sorry, y'all. It was very good. And we're going to have it again tomorrow, so Roxanne, you get to enjoy some. We made enough for two nights. So, but you know, food, what is food for? It really is for fuel, right? And yet, you know, God, in his love and creativity, he could have just stayed with the manna, right? That was his right. He's God. He created us. He could have just given us gas, you know, and he didn't just give us food. He gave us amazing food. He gave us a huge variety. I mean, don't you love all the crisp vegetables and fruit and the steak, for those of you who like steak like me, and the chicken and the, you know, breads. Oh my goodness, the breads. There's amazing, you know, pastries, cheesecake. You know, I love that God gave us a variety. Do you know that the Bible talks a lot about in Deuteronomy, you know, the aroma of the animals, of the sacrifice, of the different spices. God enjoyed it, right? He enjoyed those spices. He created us to enjoy them. I am not telling you not to enjoy food. In fact, the opposite. Be picky. I'm telling you, enjoy it in moderation. And you really can't enjoy it if you're shoveling it in. But when you're taking your time, you're eating slowly, you're savoring it, you are enjoying that food, right? I mean, think about when you get something like you've really looked forward to this piece of, okay, the Cheesecake Factory cheesecake, right? You're not going to just wolf that down. You are taking tiny slivers. You're letting it melt in your mouth. You're savoring it, okay? That's how God wants us to do with our food, right? With all of it, with that crisp apple, with the grapes, you know? He wants us to enjoy it. So there is a battle for our hearts, you know. There's a battle, and we've got to go to God to win that battle. But we are going to win it. In Ephesians 6:10-12, it talks about that. You know, you all know that scripture, okay? It's talking about putting on the full armor of God, right? So what does it say? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, I love this scripture. I mean, it's so useful, right, in so many situations. But what I love is that, you know, we don't have to be ignorant of the devil's schemes. If we put on the full armor of God and we open our eyes, we're going to see what is his biggest wish. You know, in the Garden of Eden, what did he use? He used food, didn't he? That was the first thing he used. And he used power, you know, the power to know good and evil. And he lied. He's a liar. Sisters, he lies to you every day. He doesn't love you. He doesn't want the best for you, right? He doesn't want you to have a good marriage. He doesn't want you to have good friendships. He doesn't want you to do great. He's a liar and he's a hater. But you know what? God loves you. And What do we have to be strong in? In the Lord. He doesn't say we have to be strong. We don't, that in our own might. We have God, okay? So when I tell you to pray to God to change your heart, it's God, okay? It's not you. It's God. It says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You know, think about that. Okay, our struggle is not against that cake. It's not against our own body, right? Our body is not our enemy. Think about your body. Let's be grateful for our bodies. Our bodies do a lot for us, right? They allow us to take care of our children or our husbands or ourselves. They allow us to run if we like to run, to walk if we like to walk. They let us do a lot of things. Our bodies let us enjoy food, you know. They let us enjoy movies, you know. Our bodies are not our enemy. Stop hating yourself. Stop hating your body, okay? Who lives in us? God. It's his temple. Would we really think, if we really thought about it and believed it, would we really hate God's temple? I don't think so. But we don't, because who's whispering on our ears the lies? You're fat. You're ugly. You're never, you know, this is a big one for me. You're never going to win. You're never going to succeed. You're never going to, you know, do what you want to do. You're never going to get your house all cleaned or all organized. You know, the lies, they just keep coming. We've got to stop listening to them. We've got to put on the full armor of God. We know how to do that, right? We know how to have time with God every day. It's not easy. It's a battle. There's a battle going on. There's a battle for our hearts. And it's not just regarding weight. It's regarding our relationship with God. If God can take us out in one area, guess what? He can take us out in other areas, okay? So don't think that this is not a spiritual issue. It is a spiritual issue. Every part of us. We are whole women, right? We've got lots of components. We're very unique. We're different. We're creative, you know. We're fun. We're spiritual. We have a lot of different parts of us, and no part is only on its own. Every part works together. You know, we know how our bodies work. Andrea can help us know more if we want to know more. So let's think about this. If we're trying to feed a hurting, needing heart with food or anything on this earth, alcohol, tobacco, etc., okay, praise of people, that's a big one for me. It's an error, right? The person who attempts to feed a longing heart with food will stay on the path to overweight. You know, so what happens, I know what happens, you know, it's happened to me a million times. Somebody says something, they hurt your feelings, or you've had a hard day at work. It wasn't necessarily bad, maybe, or maybe it was. A long commute, maybe it was twice as long, or maybe it's your everyday commute, and it's long every single day, and you're tired of it. And what are you looking forward to? What are you dreaming about? You're dreaming about that fill in the blank. You know, ice cream, New York super fudge chunk, love it. You know, you're thinking, what are you thinking? You're thinking it's going to make you feel better, right? Does it make you feel better? Yes, it does. For 5 minutes. Maybe 10, maybe 20 if you really, really stretch it out. But does it heal your heart? No. Is it wrong to eat it? Not if you're hungry. It's not wrong to eat it. But don't think that it's going to heal your heart, okay? Your heart is not going to be healed or fixed by the food. No, only God can do that. So we need to relearn how to feed the stomach only when it is truly hungry. We need to relearn how to feed or nourish the longing human soul with a relationship with God. Relearn how to recognize the different hunger urges and not confuse them. So, you know, I'm not going to give you a bunch of things to do, and, you know, and there's some resources that I can give you, but what I want to tell you is we have to retrain our bodies, okay? We have trained our bodies to overeat. We've stretched our stomachs out, you know? So we have to get our stomachs to go back down so that they're not never, like I have people say, well, I'm not full. And I say, well, you should be full because that's way too much food for you not to be full. Your body just has to go back to what it needs and you have to train it. So it's going to take discipline. But it doesn't take that long. It's amazing to me. When I first started, I think I cut my food in like a third. So I would eat like a third of what I would normally eat, or a half, depending. If it was a sandwich, I would eat a half, and I still eat a half. When you start practicing, and you have to be intentional, you can't just wing it. You know, you don't have to spend a lot of time. I'm not talking about that. That is the opposite of what I'm saying. I don't want you so focused on food that you're right back where you started. But I do want you to be intentional. So if you know that you have to go to a restaurant for your meal, you get a to-go box as soon as you sit down, you put half your meal or two-thirds of your meal in that to-go box, because let's face it, they give you way too much, right? And then you slowly eat that food, and you will be amazed how you get content. And we're not looking for fullness. We're looking for contentment, okay? When you get to full, you're already too far gone, you know? It's time to bring the Tums out, and then you start feeling guilty, you know? I mean, maybe you don't, but I do. So it's relearning. And again, we can relearn. You can teach a dog new tricks, but maybe not. But you can teach a person new tricks, okay? Whoops. Why diets don't work. Okay. You may say, I've tried every diet 5 times, every diet pill, exercise, and failed miserably, so how can this work? What we are really asking is, am I a failure? Or is God angry at me and sabotaging me? Well, you are not a failure, and it's not genetics, and God is not sabotaging you. He does hope that your slavery to diets and overweight will make you call out to Him. He is in love with you, and He wants you to depend on Him for deliverance, so you can see how mighty He is and how important you are to Him. These years of dieting have not gone to waste. Rather, they have deeply ingrained in your heart that diets do not work permanently. You know, and here's the real truth. Okay, so if you go on a diet and you stick to that diet for the rest of your life, yeah, you'll lose weight and probably keep it off. But who's going to do that? You know, what is a diet? You're dying to yourself and eating this food that's usually not very tasty. Or maybe it is tasty, but maybe it just calls for you to count calories and you know, do all this special prep. And who has time for that? I don't. I mean, and if I did, I wouldn't want to do it anyway because I'm too lazy. You know, just keeping it real. I've taken a little bit of leniency with this scripture, but I love this scripture. Because I feel like God is saying, don't feel bad because you've been overweight your whole life. Maybe it's been 5 years. I don't want you to think like I have thought that I've lost those years, that I've wasted those years, okay? In Joel, it says, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. You know, and he goes on. He says, don't be discouraged. You know, and this may not mean exactly what I'm saying it means, but what I'm trying to get across to you is that, you know, you haven't wasted your life. You've learned a lot of things not to do, and you've grown in other ways, right? And the thing is that, you know, no matter where you're at right now, no matter where you've been, whether it's in your relationships with other people, your relationship with God, your relationship even with the other, you know, the whole body, whether it's in your relationship with food, it is time to take a look and to say, I can change, you know? It is not too late, you know? I can be different. I can feel great about myself, you know, because I have God, and God's going to give me the victory. Don't be discouraged. So how do you lose weight? Okay, so once you stop going to food for these, you know, for all these different things we go to food for, right? Comfort, so on, and you start swallowing regular foods only when your stomach growls, you will swallow or eat just 1/2 to 1/3 of what you used to swallow. The desire eating goes away. That means you will lose weight. You'll be able to do this. It happens naturally, and you will not have to measure the food or count the grams. Your stomach will guide you. The volume of food decreases as you focus on hunger and contentment and as you focus on God. So what I want you to think about is, you know, when it's time to eat lunch, we're programmed, we eat lunch, whether we're hungry or not. When it's time to eat dinner, we want to eat. Not all of us, but, you know, a lot of us do. So I want you to start thinking ahead of time and being intentional. I love to eat as soon as I get up. I'm hungry when I get up, okay? But if you're not hungry, don't eat. You know, you don't have to eat. There's not a rule. Now, I believe that you should eat something. I don't know if Andrea would say the same. But I believe you should, maybe a half a banana even. One, it gets your metabolism going. But two, I feel like you need a little energy to get going. So, but, you know, maybe you don't eat anything else until 10 or whatever. I don't know. It's not a legalistic thing. I don't want you to watch the clock. I want you to listen to your body, okay? So then you say, for me, okay, if I know I'm going to go out to lunch or dinner and say it's 3 o'clock, and, oh, man, all of a sudden I'm hungry. I'm really hungry, and it's, you know, it's 3 o'clock, and I'm going to go out to eat at 5. I don't want to eat that much, but, boy, am I tempted to because I'm so hungry. You know, it's amazing, just a few nuts or, you know, just something small, it can satisfy that craving, that hunger. A lot of times, just drink a glass of water, and sometimes that's all it is that you're thirsty. But if you are hungry, you don't have to eat very much. You know, I used to think, oh, I had to eat a whole meal because I'm hungry. You know, no, you just have to eat a little bit, you know, and then you get to enjoy that meal. Because don't you enjoy food more when you're hungry? Oh my gosh, it tastes so much better. You know, God made us so amazingly that our taste buds actually, the food doesn't taste as good. As we start to get full, it starts, you know, it's still good, but it's not as good, right? Who do you trust with this huge issue? Okay, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Then in the 41st year of his reign, Asa died and rested with his fathers. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? I mean, you wouldn't even think about not going to the doctor right now if you knew you had cancer, if you knew you had a broken leg. But who's the great physician? It's God, right? In Matthew, it says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body not more than clothes? So sometimes we can take this and think, we can do anything we want, and we can eat anything we want with no consequences. But there's always consequences, right? Everything we do, there's a consequence. So I believe you can eat anything, but not everything. And you can't eat as much as you may want of everything. So how do we take back control? Lots of prayer to the great physician. Only he can heal our hearts. Relearn our body's requirements. Listen to our bodies and remake our habit. Amen. Thinking about taking back control. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power, love, and self-discipline. God, it says that God has given us this, so you have it. You all have it. Don't tell me you're not disciplined. Okay, you may not be disciplined in this area yet, but you are disciplined in many areas. I'm pretty sure all your kids have been fed today, okay? I'm pretty sure that, you know, your husband's been fed. I'm pretty sure that you've fed your dog or your cat or yourself. You've gone to your work, you know. We do a lot more than we give ourselves credit for. You know, we have a lot more going on than we really stop and think about. And I want you to think about how amazing you are, and yet how amazing God is. Only he can heal our hearts. And as your heart heals, you're going to see the weight healing, because you're not going to food, you're going to God to meet those needs, and you're listening to your body. Your body's an amazing thing. It will tell you when it's hungry. It'll even tell you what it's hungry for. When you're hungry for chips and you eat an apple, you still want those chips. So you're going to go back, and you're going to eat them too. Okay, now you're full. Now you're over full, right? If your body wants some chips, have some chips. You don't have to have the whole bag, right? You can have a few chips. You can break them into pieces. Eat them slowly. Whoops. Practicals. You know, most of my material, as I said, came from the book The Way Down Diet. It's a great book. You can get it for a couple dollars at Barnes & Noble used books or Amazon used books. It has a lot of great things in it. I tell people, you know, take out the meat, spit out the bones. You know, her writing style is not the easiest to get through, but she has a lot of wisdom. She uses a ton of scriptures. Attend the monthly classes and book club. We're going through the book right now. Get an accountability partner. Pray together often and by yourself, of course, always. Practice eating together. You know, it's great to eat with somebody who's eating the same way as you. You know, the hardest thing for me about my husband, I love him to death, but when he shoves a big old bite in his mouth and eats it really fast, I'm like, slow down, you're not enjoying that. You could be enjoying, you are enjoying it, but you could be enjoying it more. Slow down. But when you eat with somebody who's eating the way you do, it's fun. You're cutting up your food. You're actually making eye contact and talking. You're enjoying each other, not just the food, but you are enjoying the food. Email me for a specific list of practicals at KarenSchultz81@gmail.com. You can join our Facebook page. Let's see. You know, think about this. We need each other, right? In the church, we know that we need each other. This is not another issue. This is the same. We need each other in every area of our lives, okay? And so why would you not want to have an accountability? It doesn't mean it has to be legalistic, like how much you weigh or what did you eat. It doesn't have to be any of that. Karen and I pray with each other pretty much every day, and we talk about how we're doing. You know, I'm not like, what did you eat today, you know? It's not that way at all, you know? I may share with her, you know, I'm struggling, you know, I've put on a couple pounds, or, you know, oh, I ate past full, and oh, I felt terrible, you know, and she will do the same with me. You know, that's what an accountability person is that I'm talking about. Pray together. You know, don't think that if you're not doing well, oh, I can't talk to her because I'm not doing well, and, you know, I can't talk to her because I'm not doing well. You know what I mean? It's like it goes back and forth. Because I'm not doing well, I don't want to talk to her because I don't want her to know I'm not doing well. And so I can't talk to her. But, you know, it kills ourselves. Because what do we get when we talk to each other? We get the encouragement, right? And then when we pray together, oh my goodness, we get the power of God, you know? And so don't neglect that. That's the most important thing. So what happens when you blow it? You blew past contentment and full, now you feel guilty and you want to quit. Or you want to wait until that magic day, Monday, I'll restart Monday. Don't fall into that tired trap. Pick yourself back up and then simply wait again until you're hungry. Let go of the guilt and stop beating yourself up. Celebrate every victory, no matter how small. And remember, the weight didn't come on in a week, and it's not going to come off in a week, a month, a year. Or, well, hopefully a year, but I'm just saying, you know, be patient. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with the program. So I hope that this has helped. And if you want more information, please feel free to contact me. I went through this kind of fast because of time. And I hope that, you know, you got something out of the class. It's all God, you know. And again, that book is a great book. It's a great resource. It was the pivotal point for me. I've done a lot of other research, but I always go back to that book. It's a great resource. Now, here's just a few funny things to end with. Every time I lose weight, I find it back again in the refrigerator. Don't step on it. It makes you cry. I've been there. Don't forget, you are what you eat. Oh, well, then I need to eat a skinny person. You can do it. Do hard things. And this is Karen. Look at her. Go, Karen. Thank you for your support, for your encouragement. And I'm really going to miss you all. When we leave, we fly out July 18th. We move out of our house July 13th. But I love you all, and I will keep you in my prayers. And thank you for tonight.